nice enough to join us on the line to discuss both and maybe a little bit more. From the Associated Press and Working the Beat podcast, the one and only Kevin Cooney. Good morning, Kev.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We're doing good, Kev. So let's start with some baseball. Last night, Great American Ballpark, after a six-game absence, the long ball returned for the Philadelphia Phillies. Five home runs, I believe, in total, two of them by Rhys Hoskins. What'd you make of the performance overall?
Well, I mean, obviously, I think the best thing you can see out of these couple games against the Reds is they have continued this trend they have had under Rob Thompson, where they have basically made bad teams pay for being bad teams. I mean, yeah, they have been able to find ways of beating the teams that they should. You know, everybody got their, you know, were wringing their hands about what happened over the weekend, and I think maybe that was a little overblown about how awful a weekend some people felt they had. But against Cincinnati, against the Marlins, against the Nationals, the only exception was that Cubs series right out of the All-Star break, and that really has kind of proven to be a misnomer. They have been able to take advantage of the schedule that's been put in front of them, and this is why right now I think you have to look at their schedule coming up and figure they're in a pretty good spot to be the second wild card.
And, Kev, in the next month, aside from the four games ahead of this weekend, I'm sure, you know, that we most Phillies fans are expecting them to, you know, get a decent amount of wins out of that, maybe expand their lead in the wild card. But here's one problem, though, that a lot of Phillies fans are having. They've won back-to-back, but this comes after dropping 2 of 3 to the Mets, where they scored a total of 2 runs, really one if you take away that zombie runner, and it's kind of dulling the effect of the W's that came after.
Well, but I'll also point this out. No Schwarber. No Harper. You're facing DeGrom and Scherzer, and Chris Bassett lulled them to sleep on Sunday a little bit. I mean, I don't think it was as awful a weekend as some people have made it out to be. I mean, would you have liked to have won the series? Absolutely. You were in a position you could have won the series, but mm-hmm. you have a team that right now I think is the favorite because of the pitching depth to win the National League and the Mets.
Yeah.
And you played them tough. I mean, you know, the Mets right now are looking pretty good when you consider what the Dodgers are not going to have with Walker Buehler. Yeah, no Walker Buehler and unsure about Kershaw. I think the Mets are the favorite. So the fact that you should be positive about the fact that you were able to match them almost pitch for pitch for three games.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned how great the starting pitching has been. Last night, Kyle Gibson tied a career high with 11 strikeouts, but had a hiccup, which was the third inning where he struggled with his command. And the second home run he gave up to Jonathan India, center fielder Brandon Marsh is going out to possibly catch it at the wall, hits the wall. When he spins back around, he comes down awkwardly, twisting his knee, got an MRI. We do not know the results. Kev, if this requires an IL stint, what do they do at center field?
Well, I think you're going to see a lot more Matt Vierling. And the problem there is that Vierling, you know, who has played, you know, obviously most of the games, taken most of the at-bats with Schwarber, you know, sidelined now for a week. Vierling looks like he's starting to hit a wall here. His at-bats have been progressively getting worse. He's been going outside the strike zone. If you have to turn to him every day, I wonder, you know, how big a problem this could be. The other part of this, John, is the fact that, you know, they mentioned the fact that they thought it was a bone bruise last night on Marsh. So that is kind of a good news, as good a news as you could have expected for how ugly that scene was. You know, they're going to be able, though, to mix and match some things here. You know, they seem, and you know, Nick Maton has a little more range and could play in the outfield. You know, it's not ideal, but they can do it. You know, Sosa can even scoop back into the outfield at this point. I think that they have a little more range than they used to, and that's one thing I'll give Dave Dombrowski, that this team just appears to be deeper than it's been pretty much since those teams that made the playoffs back in 2011.
Kev, I'm very relieved to you that you mentioned numerous names, but at no point did you even hint at Odubel Herrera.
He's not coming back. I mean, he's not. I mean, I mean, Ruben's the GM there. I think that bridge has been burned at this point. And if you're a Dubel, you're probably looking, trying to find somewhere else anyway at this point.
In the absence of Kyle Schwarber, Bryson Stott, last night he didn't do very well, but he's been very good at that leadoff spot. And in the last 6 weeks or so, he's been tremendous at the plate. What changed?
Well, I think it's just getting more confidence. It's not worrying, maybe worrying about where his playing time's going. I think that's one big factor in this. I mean, ever since you got rid of Didi Gregorius, you know, he's not looking over his shoulder wondering if he's going to end up getting sent back to the minor leagues. I mean, even when Segura came back, you know, and the fact that they were able to move Stott over to short allowed them to have, you know, allowed him to maybe get a little more comfort. He's been better defensively as well, I should point out. You know, they're at a point right now that, you know, Bryson Stott, it's still a learning curve for him, and he's going to keep getting and learning different lessons. I do think he gets a little frustrated sometimes. You can tell a couple times this past week, you've seen him bark at umpires that on pitches that were probably strikes, but he thought they were balls. That's just part of the maturation process, and I think that's something he's going through at this point. And I think he's been pretty good about it.
Mm-hmm. Kev, let's move to football. The Philadelphia Eagles this coming weekend will have preseason game number 2 against the Browns. They have a couple of joint practices in Cleveland before that starting tomorrow. But in conversations, Kev, as we're inching closer to this season, when talking about expectations, the word elite has been used a lot recently. Kev, is it justified or a little bit over the top?
I think it's elite with a curve in a sense of, you know, and I heard Al mention this. You know, you don't know what's going to happen in Tampa right now with the Buccaneers. You know, there could only be two real elite teams in the NFC. You know, one would be the Rams. I think the 49ers have an elite-level defense. There's obviously concerns about Trey Lance. You know, they're probably in that mix, that next mix with Green Bay and Dallas and them. I mean, of teams that could go and get to the Super Bowl out of the NFC compared to what you see out of the AFC.
Yeah. Kev, do you think a caller brought this up shortly ago, and I've been thinking about it ever since. Jalen Hurts has been the starting quarterback for 20 games now. Is he getting more leeway than any quarterback in franchise history in terms of getting more opportunity to show that he's something he hasn't been to this point?
Well, you know, I think there's a learning curve that goes. So we're basically talking just over a year, in a sense, if you want to talk 20 starts. Okay, so out of 17-game schedule, it's a year and 3 games, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you put that in perspective. Did Donovan get 20 games to have to prove what he was? Did you know, and I get it. Their draft positions were different. Carson Wentz had about a year to kind of break himself in.
Sure. I mean, these guys were picked, you know, top tier, top picks in a draft versus, you know, a second, what was probably going to be a third rounder.
Yeah, but they also, I mean, you know, so, yeah, there is that difference. I get what you're saying. But he's also kind of, you know, he did make the playoffs his first year as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is something that you can't, you know, we discount it because of how poor the schedule was, how poor they played in Tampa and everything. He did make the playoffs, and they as a unit made significant strides as the year went along last year. You know, do I think that – look, we're talking about the fact that we're throwing everything on him, whether they're going to make the Super Bowl or not. I find that hard to kind of swallow because of the fact that there are some holes and there's some major concerns on this team still in my mind, you know, starting with the running back. I'm not a big Miles Sanders fan. I think that there's certainly some evidence this training camp that the Eagles are as concerned as I am about him at this point too.
Mm-hmm. Kev, one final question I have for you, and it has to do with the Philadelphia 76ers, who news came out the other day. They reached a settlement with Ben Simmons for an undisclosed amount of money based on the grievance that he was trying to recoup $20 million that they withheld during that whole, I don't want to play for you, trade me, oh, now all exhaust all options, mental distress. Kev, the fact that it was undisclosed. What are you thinking about?
Well, you know, you could spin it one of two ways. Either the Sixers paid him to go away, or it allows Ben Simmons to claim a little bit of a partial victory if you're on his camp. You know, he may have gotten the old USFL $1 thing, and they didn't want to get embarrassed by it. Look, at this point, both sides are having to move on. You know, I don't see – if I was the Sixers, I probably would have fought this to the dying day to get every dime I could back. But at this point also, I think if you're the Sixers, there's no use in dragging things up. Look, John, you know this. In sports, teams often just decide to make things go away. By settling here, the Sixers have made this you know, fade away quicker than it would have been if this is something that's constantly brought up every time they play the Nets. And by the way, I love the fact that the NBA leases schedule out one day at a time.
Yeah, they're trying to do something similar to what the NFL does. Kevin Cooney does a brilliant job for the Associated Press and, of course, one half of Working the Beat podcast. For links to all his stories and links to the latest episodes of the pod, follow him on Twitter, @KevinCooney. Thanks, Kev.
Thanks, John.